you, there's going to be folks here that are going to be set free. There's going to be people that you're going to experience God's power like never before here today. And I'm going to teach a little bit, and I'm going to preach a little bit. Is that okay?
Yes.
And we spoke about a legacy, getting into the legacy of Victory Outreach. How many know we have a legacy?
Yes.
How many know also in our family we have a legacy?
Yes.
We can leave a legacy of faith. We can leave a legacy of hope. And then also we can leave a legacy that will transcend to our children's children's children.
Yes.
How many want to see that happen?
Yes.
Well, in the book of Psalms, I begin to study the book of Psalms. And I realized in the book of Psalms, there's so much treasure that you will find in that book. You know, and I realized that it took a long time to write the book of Psalms. Matter of fact, it took over 900 years to write the book of Psalms. Isn't that amazing? One of the biggest chapters in the Bible you'll find in the book of Psalms. Matter of fact, it is the biggest book in the Bible. And it did have some famous quotes. You probably know them. In Psalms 23, do you guys know that one? Somebody knows it. That's the most famous chapter quoted all over the world. Did you guys know that? You know, it also, it talks about, and it's the biggest chapter is, what is it? You guys know?
119.
You cheated. You already knew the answer. Psalms 119. You know what it speaks about? Longevity. Stay. How many want to stay saved?
Yes.
You know, because I'm tired of people backsliding. Aren't you tired of people backsliding?
Yeah.
I'm tired of people backsliding.
Yeah.
They come to church 1 week and then live like the devil the next. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people backsliding.
Yeah.
But the Bible talks about longevity. It speaks about staying saved, getting in there, serving the Lord. And you know, 150 chapters, they speak about the struggle. Turn to your other neighbor that doesn't want to talk to you and tell them the struggle is real. The struggle is real. Well, in Psalms, it talks about the struggle.
Yeah.
It talks about the fight. It talks about the fighting with God and fighting with man. Fighting with God and fighting with man. You're there fighting with God. You're struggling with God because sometimes you think God is not fair.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think God is not fair. He's doing things. You're like, why God? Why God? And then we struggle with men. And then we want to just hate. But God deals with what? Our hearts.
Yeah.
So we discover that in the book of Psalms, David wrote what? How many chapters? Do you guys know? 73. Amen. He wrote almost half of Psalms. And you know, the book of Psalms really means worship. How many here love the worship? It means to proclaim worship. It also means the plucking of instruments. It means to proclaim his name. And the book of Psalms, it was dedicated 900 years of writing this book. Can you imagine that? How many know God is the only one that could orchestrate that?
Yes.
Men couldn't do that. It had to be a book that God put together. And that's how important worship is for us. Now, David, he wrote a lot of chapters in this book. And David, he had a lot of struggles. Matter of fact, we'll get into it a little later. But in Psalm 51, he struggled. He struggled, but he got his joy back. Amen. And you know, he also had a son named Solomon. And Solomon was a man that was a young man that grew up and he was going to get ready to take the kingdom. And he learned from his dad about something. And you know, he was there, he was looking beyond the crowd and he looked at the people and he realized that he needed God to help him govern the people. Matter of fact, David says, I will want to serve you and shepherd the people with integrity of heart and skillful hands. So Solomon here says, you know what? I need something. And he asked God, and God told him, you know what? I'll give you anything you want. Imagine if God told you that. I'll give you anything you want. What would you ask for? A new wife? An upgrade? Not an upgraded wife. What would you ask for? Because you won't really know people until you give them money.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right? Because it'll be magnified 10 times over.
That's
who they really are, because there's no limitations now. I can spend money, I can do this. You really know people when you give them money. You'll really know the people in the home when you give them money. Somebody say amen. All of a sudden the drug addict comes out of them again. I got money. And so you know, he was there asking God, and then he didn't ask for anything but wisdom. He asked the Lord for wisdom, and he says, God, just give me wisdom to govern the people. And because of that, God blessed him, prospered him, and he was wealthy, but he was the wisest man on earth. Now, Solomon only wrote two chapters. He only wrote two chapters in the book of Psalms. And the one that I love the most, because it really spoke to me when I first started pastoring, was this psalm. Guess what it was? Psalms 127. And it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor, labor in vain. It says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It says, in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. It says, to eat the bread of sorrow, for he gives the beloved sleep. Like, wow, praise the Lord, I can go to sleep now. Amen, praise God. I said, man, I can just give it to Jesus. Yes. And he says, you know, unless the Lord builds it. I said, you know what? I stopped trying to build my own kingdom and let God build it. Amen. Yes. I'm not trying to build a castle. I'm trying to build the kingdom of God. Yes. And so I have to allow God to be in the center of it. So Solomon said, you know what? I'm going to learn from my daddy. Yeah. So, you know, he left me something. He says, you know what? I'm going to put Jesus, I'm going to put God in the center of everything that I do. How many know that if you don't put God in the center of everything that you do, it'll eventually fail?
Yes.
And it'll actually be it'll be nothing. Because how many know, if we can go to God, right, and you did everything for yourself, you got a job, you got a car, you got a wife, you got kids, you got everything, and then God, when you go before God, he's going to tell you, what have you done? What have you done here on earth? Well, I got a good job. I got paid, and I got this, I got that. But you know what? God is going to look at it because, oh, yeah, that's fine, but what did you do for me? What did you do for me? So Solomon here had great wisdom, and so he really understood that he needed God to be in the center of it all. You see, David left the legacy of that. Because David was a warrior. He never quit. He believed, and he beat all the odds. He was a man after God's own heart. He really loved the Lord, but he was a terrible father. He fell into sin. He made a lot of mistakes. You see, the difference between him and other people was this one particular thing that I noticed, because there's many folks in the church today that I actually could name them, that they really haven't come to that place of full repentance. And so one of the things that he learned is how to repent. Some of us don't know how to repent. You just say, I'm sorry, but really, you're just sorry you got caught.
Come on,
you just got busted. I'm sorry, right? But you haven't really repented. You know, David declared that, you know what? Give me a pure heart, oh God. You know what that means? That means that he asked God to purify his heart. It's another term, another word for decatheter. It filters out. You see, we can't ever be perfect, but we can be filtered.
Come on.
We can never be perfect, but we can be filtered. And you got to be filtered all the time. How many here have filtered water at home? Living in Martinez and Concord, we need filtered water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Got to have that filter, right? You don't know what's in that water. They tell you, you can't even eat the fish over there. Amen. Wow. A lot of stuff going on over there. Amen. But you know, you got to have a filtered heart. And David knew it. And see, he just fell with Bathsheba. Amen. He fell with Bathsheba. And, you know, he fell hard. He fell really hard. And where he says, where King should have went out to battle, but he was kicking back. He says, no, I'm not going to go out and fight. How many know sometimes you just want to give up the fight? You don't want to fight no more. And so he was there, and he felt in a place of sin. In a place where, you know, he got separated from God for a moment. Then sometimes, how many know, sometimes what happens is that you get used to it.
Yeah.
You don't even realize that God's not even with you anymore. The presence of God that you are so used to all of a sudden begins to dissipate because of what you've been doing and compromising over time. And you've been doing this and dabbling here and dabbling there. And then all of a sudden, you're just used to walking in sin. You're, can I speak a little bit? Amen. I forgot to tell you, this is PG-13. Amen. So be ready. Amen. And so David got to this place. Check this out. I need you to follow along with me, and I want you to read this with me. And we're going to read a little bit slow. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Look, in Psalms 51, verse 1. Psalm 51. I want you to mark this down. I want you to write this down, because this is how we need to repent. Everybody say repent. All right, here we go. Psalm 51. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitudes of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. It says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. And it says here, check this out, guys. Again, listen. Again, you only have I sinned. There it is, the key. Sometimes we feel bad because we've hurt people or we did things. But really, who did you hurt? You hurt God. You hurt God. He realized, to you I sinned only. He realized, see, if I feel sorry about doing something and I ask for an apology, and I say, you know what, I apologize for this and I'm sorry. You know, if you disappear, if you go away, I'll do it again. If you ask the pastor, hey, pastor, forgive me, you know, I messed up. That's fine. Well, when the pastor's gone, you're going to do it again.
Yeah.
But you do it unto God.
Yes.
And you know, God's everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to repent. And you're going to live it out. How many know there's a fruit of repentance?
Yes.
When a man continues, when a woman continues to sin, everybody say sin.
Sin.
Oh, you guys are looking kind of, oh man, I didn't know Pastor was going to talk about sin today. Man, you think I was going to talk about Disneyland? Hello. I'm going to keep it real. Can I keep it real?
Yes.
Because I see the struggle. The struggle is real.
Yes.
And so, you know, here he talks about, you know, I sinned against God. And because he referred to God, he says, God, I want to change.
Yes.
And it says, to you alone I sinned, it says, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sins my mother conceived me. He knew that he was a sinner. It says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. I mean, that's real right there. Because I know Victory Outreach, folks. You will hide. You won't tell the truth. Even if I put it in your face, black and white, I got the video to prove it, what you just did. That wasn't me. That was my cousin. That was my twin. You won't admit that it was you until the very end. And you finally, yeah, I did part of it. But to come clean, everybody say, come clean. Sometimes there's a process. But you need to come clean before the Lord, because there's a lot of things that God wants to give you. And let me tell you this. God wants to give you something that's holy, but he can't give it to a dirty vessel. Somebody say amen. You need to get clean before the Lord so that you can receive that holy calling, that holy destiny that God wants to give you. He wants to give you something that's the world can't give you what God can give you. You know, so, and he says right here, he says, behold, you desire truth in inward parts, and it says, in the hidden parts, you will make me known wisdom. There it is. He learned it from his papa. He goes, I need to learn wisdom. That's what David says. He says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. How many have ever been to a place where it just finished snowing? Right? My wife and I went to South Lake Tahoe. We went through a blizzard to get there. When we finally got there, we woke up in the morning and it was beautiful white. And the Lord showed me that's the sin when it's forgiven. Somebody say amen. It's beautiful. It says, make me hear joy and gladness. Oh, come on, somebody. How many want to get their joy back? Amen. It says, the bones you have broken. It says, I rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. And I love it right here. It says, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a steadfast spirit. You know what that means? I don't want to backslide no more. I'm tired of going back out there and doing the same thing over and over again. He says, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Back out there. I want to stay in the church. He says, I want to stay steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. I want to go with my kids in the church. I want to see them get married. I want to see my children's children get blessed in the church. I want to leave them alone. And commitment. And he says right here, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He lost the joy, guys. You know that's what sin does. It will rob you from your joy. He says, uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will be converted. You know what that means? When you're right with God, you can't help but to witness.
Yes.
You can't help. Because you know, if you're not right with God, you ain't going to tell nobody about Jesus, right? Because I ain't going to tell them. No, I need Jesus too right now. I'm struggling. But when you get right with God, oh my God, you just want to witness. You want to share. You go to your job. You tell them. You tell your neighbor. You go everywhere. That's how revival starts, when you begin to take ownership of what God has given you. You see, so you have to understand that when you get right with God, that's how you'll know a lot of people in your church are getting right with God, when they're witnessing. That's an indicator right there to me. Because you can't help it. Because you feel the joy of the Lord. You feel the peace of God. And see, David said, deliver me from the guilt bloodshed. He killed people. He did a lot of dirt. He says, deliver me from my conscience. Basically, sometimes we can ask God to forgive us, but we don't forgive ourselves. You hear what I'm saying? We ask God, forgive me, Lord. And he does. But then also we walk with this cloud of unforgiveness because we haven't forgiven ourselves yet. And he says, clear me from this conscience of guilt. I don't want to be guilty anymore. I don't want to feel guilty anymore. I want to be free. How many want to be free here today? He says, and the God of my salvation, the tongue shall sing aloud. And that's what usually happens. I can always tell when somebody's in sin in the church. They can't even worship. They have a hard time worshiping. You should lift your hands. I dare you to make me worship. They can't even lift a finger. It's so heavy. Also, they can't do it. But when a man's free, come on, there's no weight holding me down, baby. Whoever the Son says free is free indeed. And I could dance. I could hop. I could skip. Come on, I could do cartwheels. Amen. Because I'm free. And it says right here, it says, and my mouth shall show forth praise. It says, for you do not desire sacrifice. Come on. Because God doesn't want you to be religious. Come on. He doesn't want you to do your religious duty. It says, or else I would give it. He says, you do not delight in burnt offerings. Come on. Just giving an offering is not enough. Come on, somebody. He says, the sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. This, oh God, you are. That means God is looking for you to be broken of yourself so that and get yourself filled up. You can always tell a man and a woman that's in sin and not praying. They're so prideful. You'll always notice, oh, that's pride. Because when a man depends on God, he's humbled. When the man depends on his flesh, he stumbles. Amen.
Come on.
And David, he understood this. And when he got confronted of his sin, he realized what he lost. And sometimes we lose something. You see, to be whole is to be mind, body, and spirit. That means you've got it all together, everything in one. You see, he knew that there was something missing in his life. And eventually he was caught. And eventually he was confronted. And he realized that he lost his joy. He lost his peace. He even lost his authority and his confidence. He lost this, and he was eventually going to lose his heart to the world. You see, he was there, and I realized that people don't receive peace in their life because they're in pieces. Let me give you an example of that. Your peace, you're an individual that gives a peace at work, and you're at work and you become a different person, and then you're at home and you become another person. And then you're in the street with your homeboys, and you're a whole different person. And then when you're with your homegirls, you're a whole different person. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And all along, you're all these different pieces. And you realize that you're lacking peace in your life because you're broken in pieces. In other words, what you're trying to do is you're trying to portray a person that you're really not. And so you go there and you always have to cover your tracks. So you don't want to get busted, right? So when you come to church, you're a whole different person. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
All of a sudden in front of the pastor, you become all this holiness and everything. Pastor, you know, I read my Bible today and they quote scriptures and they, right? They go, they know more scripture than the pastors. Amen. And they start quoting scriptures and praying and everything else. And they want to make sure everybody's watching them while they're praying. You know, just making sure, hallelujah, that everybody's watching them. But when they go home, they're acting like the devil. And then you wonder why you don't have peace in your home. Because you're in pieces.
Come on.
You're in pieces. And God calls us to be whole.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible says He calls us to be whole.
Yes.
So that you could be one in every place.
Yes.
You don't have to be seven different people. You could be one person. You could be a man of God. With your husband, with your wife, the man of God, with your kids. Your kids are struggling. They're dealing with anxiety. They're diagnosing them with pills. And you're saying, what's wrong with my kid? Well, maybe it's because they're lacking peace in the home. Because maybe they're getting beat down. Come on, somebody. And if they're not getting beat down, they're watching somebody else getting beat down.
Hello.
And then you wonder, well, it's time to change.
Yes.
It's time to be whole. It's time to be complete. And what sin does, it begins to divide us and begins to strip us. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? It's death. You see, I'm trying to feed you something. Is that okay? I'm trying to get you some life in you, because some of you guys, and I can tell, some of you guys have life. Who has life? Because I don't know, but some of you guys, I can tell there's something going on. There's something going on. I don't know. Pastor Pedro, there might be something going on. Amen. Something going on over here. Amen. I tell you, the devil's been hitting us up too. But one of the things I've been telling people, you know, we've been getting hit up with different things and people have been falling. Hey, that happens, right? And I kind of realized that, you know, that's just a process in the church. You'll always get people to get hit up. But the Lord spoke to me one day when I was in intercession and prayer. The Lord spoke to me, don't focus on what the devil is doing. Focus on what I'm doing. That's what He told me. Just glorify Him, glorify me.
What?
After me. Oh my God. Oh, listen, it is not about Him, it's about Him. God gave me a new perspective. Look, I'm doing something great. He's just scared. You hear what I'm saying? When the devil's hitting you up, it's because he's just scared. You see? God is moving, and I believe God is moving in the city of Vallejo. This city needs Jesus, man. But they need some genuine, on fire, sold out. Not a duality, but one person serving God at home, serving God at their school, being a witness. And I'm telling you, be the same. They will see a true revival. The revival starts with hope. It does.
Woo.
Because how can we receive something holy when we're dirty?
Yes.
How can we receive a message of hope to those if we're a dirty vessel?
Come on.
The old wineskins will break. We need new wineskins. We need God to fill us up with new wine, the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you up with power and the anointing. When I walk into the door, I felt the presence of God in His house. Man, the worship was on point. I felt the presence of God. I was saying, man, God, what are you going to do here tonight? Because the Bible says how beautiful it is when the brothers dwell together in unity. I believe there's power in unity. When the churches come together, I believe there's power going to be demonstrated tonight. Amen. God's going to move in such a powerful way. You got to realize that God is doing something new. God is doing something new in us and around us. I believe even with your pastors, I see something right there. I see a freshness. I see a newness. I see God giving them a fresh wind. I feel the power of God upon you guys. I see it. God is moving. I love them because they don't quit. Amen. I love people that don't quit. See, I might mess up. Come on, but I ain't going to give up.
Come on.
You see, you know, I'm not perfect, and there's no pastors that is perfect, but baby, we're not giving up. There's pastors that are giving up, but I'm telling you, man, He has a heart. We have a heart to serve God, and we're going to endure hardship like a good soldier. We're going to endure hardship because we know God is more real. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, I was going to get into something else, but you know what? I want to let you know this. In this society today, it is so bad. Everywhere you go, there's a godless society. People don't want us to serve God. Everybody is putting us down for what we believe. And let me tell you here, we're living in the world that needs Jesus here today. There's people here today that, you know, I know in the world when I begin to proclaim his name, and they go, well, yeah, you know, this and that. No. There's something happening that you have to repent from. And you need to change. And let me tell you here, how can a young man keep his way clean? How can a person keep their way clean? And it says it in Psalms 119. Remember I talked about longevity?
Yes.
See, Psalms 119 talks about how to stay saved.
Yes.
Right? How many want to stay saved?
Yes.
I want you to shake your neighbor, tell him, you better. You better. Come on, God's going to heal somebody from backsliding here tonight. Bible even talks about God will heal you from your backslidden state. There's three things real quick that I understood in Psalms 119. And it talks about it from verse 1 to 11. For the sake of time, I'm just going to jump into the last part of it. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. It says, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You see, throughout that whole chapter, you realize that there's three things that I found, the three components. If you're writing any notes, you can write these three things. It's just something very simple, but it kept me saved. Hello. And one of the things, let me tell you here, and it's all W's, is worship. Worship kept me saved. You know, sometimes I don't know how to pray. Sometimes I don't even know what to say. How many have ever gone through so much stuff? You don't even know what to say anymore. Man, you're going through this, you know, you're dealing with CPS issues, you're dealing with money issues, you're dealing with family issues, you're dealing with marriage issues, you're dealing with all kinds of issues, amen? And you're dealing with all this, you don't even know how to pray sometimes. You're like, God, let me tell you what brought me through all that. It was worship. Man, I don't even know. Man, I don't even know how to sing sometimes. I just need to come out of this. I listen to worship, I put it in. You know what that does for me? It keeps me connected to the Father.
Yeah.
It does. It keeps me connected to God when I'm praying and I worship and I'm seeking, I'm worshiping God, and all of a sudden it does something to me, and then all of a sudden the faith begins to rise back up in my spirit, and
amen,
I begin to feel good again. And telling you, I don't quit that easy. Some of you guys are quitters. Don't quit so easy. You guys go into home for 2 weeks, you go, I can't handle this. You were in prison for 10. Hello. Come on. Right? I don't understand that. I go, oh man, I can't handle this. Just shut up. Amen. Come on, stop crying about it. Just girls that can handle more than you guys can. I'm telling you, man, some girls are tough. You know, and you have to learn how to worship and warfare through that, through worship. And you see, the devil's not going to steal my worship. I don't care. See, the Bible says to give him the sacrifice of praise. You know what that means? Sacrifice your emotions.
Yes.
When you come to church, I don't feel like worshiping all the time. I just went through all kinds of stuff on the way to church, man. I just cussed somebody out on the way over. I didn't do that. Amen. I'm just giving an example. I didn't do that. Amen. I overcame that area in my life. Amen. But for those that maybe struggle with that, and you come in and you go, man, I don't want to worship. Let me tell you. You just got to come clean before the Lord and say, God, you know I'm struggling real bad, but I'm not going to let the devil steal my worship. You know, I'm struggling with stuff. I even struggle with my addiction right now, but I don't care. I need deliverance right now. I need to worship.
Yes.
You see, you have to learn to worship and get in there. Some of you guys don't like worship. Then I could question your salvation, because a person that's saved loves worship.
Yes.
I'm telling you. I came to church. I never sung a song, man. I wasn't religious coming to church. I didn't even know all the stuff they were doing up in this pulpit. I was like, what's this? And I realized, man, when I raised my hands and I said, man, there's something that's happening in my heart right now. And I start crying and breaking. I said, Lord, what are you doing in me right now? I don't feel like crying in front of people. But I started crying, and the Lord broke me. And he connected me to him even more so. The other thing is walking. Walking, your testimony will keep you. In other words, every time you testify, you overcome the devil.
Yes. Yes.
By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, right?
Amen.
And so you overcome the enemy when you walk worthy of the gospel. You overcome the enemy when you walk. In other words, when you testify. Because some of you guys don't want your kids to be saved. Because they might tell you the truth. He says, I thought you were saved, Mom. They used to tell me, my kids used to say, I thought you were saved, Pastor. I thought you were the pastor. Right? Is the mic on? Amen. Praise the Lord. It happens to the best of us. Right? Can I keep it real? Right? We're in a fight together, right? And so, but when you testify, it's a safety net. You go to your job, you testify. Right? Now you can't backslide so easy. Hello. Because you don't look stupid, right? Amen. Right? You tell your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, hey, Jesus did a work in my life. Now you can't backslide. Right? Because now they're going to question you. Say, hey, weren't you going to churches last week? You were talking about Jesus. This guy was going on. Yeah. But when you testify, it's a safety net. You begin to get stronger because you say, you know, I can't be like that. I can't be a hypocrite. How many like hypocrites? I don't like hypocrites. Amen. And your kids don't like hypocrites. They see them. And see, we don't need hypocrites in the church. We need the real deal in the church. And you begin to testify. That's going to keep you saved. That's going to keep you in line because you don't want to put the Bible talks about it. You put Jesus right back on the cross. You make him dead to people when you go back out there and you don't share the gospel. And the last thing is the word. Word will keep us. The word guides us. It grows us. It guards us. And then eventually it gauges us. Yeah. That's what the word does. Because it guides us and it's a light unto our feet. It grows us because it's a double-edged sword. It guards us because it hides in our hearts so that we don't sin against him. And it gauges us because it searches us from all things and shows us where we're at. It guides, it grows, guards, and gauges. That's what the Word of God does to us. How many here love the Word of God? Yeah. You see, some of you guys need to go to life group and go to Bible study because I don't know. The only scripture you're ever reading throughout the week is the scripture that's read here in church. It shouldn't be that way. You should read it at home. You should go through it at the house. You can go through it to your Bible study. Get Bible study together. Get in there because that's what's going to keep you. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some. Some people have a habit of skipping church. Come on. But exhorting one another. Come on now. And so much more as you see the day approaching. I mean, we're living in the last days.
Yes.
We're living in the days right now. We're hearing about hurricanes and earthquakes. And you're hearing about wars and rumors of war, diseases that are incurable. There's all this stuff. You know, the Bible calls them labor pains.
Yeah.
How many here women have had a child?
Yeah.
Labor pains, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Right? It's a real deal, right? You go, oh, it's coming. Well, that's how we know Jesus is coming. All these things are the real deal. It's never happened so much so at the same time. All this is happening. Let me tell you, God is looking for a church without spot or blemish. God, these are the times where we need to rise up. These are the times where it's not to be shy, but it's to be bold with the gospel. Begin to share the gospel. That's what we're doing in the city of Concord. I'm out there on a Friday night. We have our services on Friday night, but we go out there radical style. Out there with the bullhorn and testifying. Let me tell you, when we do that, man, God does something supernatural. He does something supernatural. When you're bold, man, God takes over. You know, there's people like in our church, like Gilbert. I was testifying in the corner. He came to me and I led him to the Lord right there in the middle of the street. Right, Gilbert? He was driving right there. I was testifying and sharing the gospel. There's been people in our church that, because we've been doing that, I'm telling you, Vallejo, you guys need Jesus here. Come on. Come on with this. You need to get crazy with this gospel because, man, the devil is having overtime. There's things that are taking place. And you need to take this serious because you're saying, Pastor, I don't have peace in my life. I'm struggling. Well, it's time to come clean tonight. There's areas in your life. Why are you suffering with addiction here tonight? Why are you suffering with things in your life? I'm telling you, because the compromised life will end up giving you a part broken life. It'll end up giving you a life that's not fulfilled. But let me tell you, when you are right with God, look at me. When you are right with God, something takes place.
Yes.
The Bible says, let me tell you, holy hands make you stronger and stronger.
That's right.
Whew, come on, somebody.
Yes.
Holy hands, man, gives you confidence. Holy hands, man, does something to you. Holy hands, man, when you get right with God, man, you just want to just win the world for Jesus. You want to win the world for Jesus. There'll be their homes will be so packed out.
Come on, that's true.
You know, but we need to get to a place, young people, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because the young people, you need to get on fire.
Yes.
My daughter's in the UTC right now. And she's so fired up right now. My daughter is 18 years old. And you know, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit by 15. You go ahead and start playing, it's fine. By 15, she was already baptized in the Holy Spirit, on fire. And then 16, 17, 18, she was just getting more radical. She would speak in tongues the whole time, like all day. Amen. She wouldn't speak to me in regular English. She was, ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I go, okay, amen. My daughter, she just got radically saved. And she wouldn't compromise with nothing. She would fast for a whole year. She would fast for a whole year. No meat for a whole year. At the end of the year, she was a carnivore. Amen. What happened to the fasting? I broke it. But she's in the UTC right now. Because, you see, I've been saved for 30 years. I got saved at the age of 18 years old. I was so lit up at the age of 18 because I realized God delivered me and set me free. Everybody that I knew was getting locked up. Everybody I knew was either finding out that they died, finding out that they overdosed, or got caught. Something happened. God spared me from that. I was so lit up, man. I was so excited that he spared me from that. And then from there on, I was so fired up. I loved to serve the Lord at a young age. And now, guess what? I was a youth pastor, and I sowed into the youth, and I'm able to see my children serve the Lord. Left a legacy. She was so fired up. I remember going to Bart. She would stand up and Bart in front of all these people. I want to let you know. And she would, I go, oh my God. Amen. What did we create? We created a Holy Ghost monster. Amen. And then she would go to school. She went to the lunch break and she got on the garbage can and began to tell everybody at her school about Jesus. Right before she graduated high school. And she was doing her Bible study. And she was aggressive. She would always be faithful to her Bible study, sharing the gospel, because she knew, and I love that she knew that this time was not going to come back again.
Yes.
Young people, get serious. This time will not come back again. This is your opportunity, because for some folks, they might not have a second chance. How many know there's young people dying right now?
Yeah.
Young people committing suicide early. Young people are dying right now, and so sad. They're so hopeless. A lot of them are just atheists. They stop believing. But, you know, they need to see something real. You see, my daughter, now she's in UTC. I go, you don't need the UTC, girl. But she's there. She's just lighting everybody up. You know, she's praying for everybody. She's there. She's getting what she needs to do. Some things that she's working on. But I see her lit up. I believe here today, there's going to be some Holy Ghost young people. I'm just speaking that right now. I believe God just prompted me to share that. That you, even you parents, you might have your kids. Come on. The best thing you can give them is Jesus. It'll keep them holy. It'll keep them right. And I heard horror stories about men having their daughters go crazy. I didn't have that problem. Look at me real quick. I didn't have that problem. Why? Because I left a legacy of hope and faith. You know what I also left? I learned how to repent. I showed my kids how to really get in there and ask God to change.